Okay, Cosmos videos or something, continuation previous one. And then I remember, which I mentioned in my book, how it is stated there in the Indian old cosmology, Shastra, the Puranas, and so on, that these places up north, they are like Bila Svarga, like heaven on earth. And I mean, when we go want to go to heaven, we go to some of those sunny places down south. But then I've been thinking, and now some may shake their heads, and you do that as much as you like. Especially you northerners, Scandinavianers. But in a way, it's a bit heavenly here. Well, one thing which just struck me then is, it is said that in heaven, a day is 6 months, and a night is 6 months. And that's what it is up, well, the further up you go, closer to that. And some, including the residents here, may complain, oh, these winters and this darkness and this cold. But if you think of it, well, learn from the bears. And do what this man does. Well, not exactly hibernation, but stay indoors and enjoy life there. Writing, producing, making videos, making music. I mean, ask the kids up in the very north. They know fun things to do indoors. Stupid things too, but... but anyway, so in a way we have six, well, not 6 months, maybe 4 months night here and the rest day. And that's where you can see here how this country, people here wake up. This city where, which I live in, it's Stockholm, it's like another world in the summer and in the winter. People come out of their caves and tourists come here, and then we sometimes think, oh, if I could just live somewhere else where it's more sunny, and yeah, sure, and move there. But maybe they think, oh, if I could just live in a place like this, look, it's clean on the streets and the sidewalks, and people take care of nature, and they're honest, nice, not aggressive. Not shouting and screaming all the time, which you find in certain countries down further south, where there's more passion ruling, right? Rajaguna. I remember we were in Italy. Italy is a real nice place. A couple of years ago, and in a little town north of Florence. And I had to have my window open because there was no AC at night. And it was such a noise of people out there on the street. Just a little street where you just pass through. So yeah. So it's kind of interesting because this comes from these old Vedic scriptures, and you take it as you may, that the earth and heaven and even hell are to be found on this earth, this planet. So it's as if the cosmic order is somehow, whether slightly or very clearly, visibly reflected on all the different levels here. So don't get me wrong out and think that I'm saying that we Swedes are like gods and people down there are like demons or whatever. I'm more talking about the places, and I would say that we Swedes today are degraded. And in the global north in general, it's a heavy decadence now. People have lost ethical qualities, morality, character. At least much more than in the past, I would say, when there was still religion here, for the good and for the bad, but times have changed. We just need to accept that fact. The point then is that yes, there are nice people to be found up here, and I would even say like this, these are thoughts I had for years, and take it for what it is, just my thoughts while taking walks. But I think, I mean, it seems like the more north you get, the physical world, just that the higher you get up in the mountain, nature gets more how to say, physically sparse. And we say sometimes about the northern beauty, especially women, that it's a kind of an ethereal beauty. And yes, I often see that up here more than I do in countries more down south, where people are often more fleshy and human, and they come up here and pale blue eyes and blonde and pale skin, and often calmer. And I'm born in the south of Sweden. We are more passionate people, active, talkative. But if you come up north, people are very calm. They don't speak very much. And we Southerners often like them because they are nice people. They don't make big noise. And so in a way that also fits within this cosmology. The more north you get, you become more ethereal, and the entire environment becomes like that. It doesn't mean that less exists then. It means that less of it is manifest on that physical side of the gross physical senses out there, the animalistic side. But yeah, people up here are often intelligent, clear-minded. Logic and reason rules here. And I've spoken to, I mean, I have friends that, phew, very advanced levels of awareness and knowledge, and we had deep discussions, would really take off into ethereal planes and metaphysics and all of that. We like that up here. I don't know about you. At least the people I grew up with, of course not the majority of Swedes, but... And I'm not, again, saying that this is how we are, no one else is. I'm just very subjectively describing my experiences from growing up here. And also my experiences from traveling around the world, which I have done fairly extensively. And I'd say that I find the same nature, kind of, in Japanese people, northern Chinese people, America, you, what can you say? I mean, they are just the big ones. But no, I definitely find it there also, because many came from here. But so it's not strictly geographic here. I'm talking very general people, very, very general terms here. It's actually about personal qualities and not about personal belonging to geographic regions or ethnical groups. So again, don't get me wrong. That's why I said some of you may freak out when I speak as I do now, but it's cosmology. So I'm kind of playing with the thought, and so this means that not many, and I often say that to others, my friends and sons, that it's not so easy to get entry here. Just again said that the heaven is a subtle realm, and to live there you must be more sattvic, more peaceful, satisfied in yourself, and honest and compassionate and kind, and let's work together and share. And you find that here in Sweden. I have to say that I grew up with it, with definite exceptions. And I mean, in our small towns, that men were drinking and eating flesh of animals that they killed, and fairly animalistic, like. So sure, we have our predators and wild animals up here too, but not so much. You can walk around in nature. I never ever met a dangerous animal. Yes, one of those little, what do you call them? Nothing significant anyway. So then some people think it's boring and they can't stay here. I've met so many who came through, passed through here, lived here for a while, and they complained all the time. People from South and people from America and people from here and there. So, and it's interesting because that's how it is said that the heavenly regions are too, that if someone comes there who doesn't belong there by the mode of nature that person is in, and they can't stand it. I don't even think they have to throw them out, but maybe also. So, anyway, just some entertaining thoughts. No particular purpose more than how I keep seeing this kind of cosmology in the big and in the small, and in nature too. And again, it's not about race or nationality or geography, it's about modes of nature. Gunas. And if you don't know what that means, well, I guess we should make a program about that, because it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the cosmology there, that this entire material existence, this entire big cosmos we are in, consisting of three worlds and other, I mean, it's pretty described as pretty big, or even beyond big and small. It's a very special description of the cosmos given there in the old Puranas. It's quite fascinating, because it also accommodates the world as we see it, and accommodates much of the science that is just emerging and has been doing so for 100 years. So you keep getting back to it, and therefore I'm saying that, hey, this might be a worldview that actually we can live in and get peace on earth and mind and live decently happily here. So, why I'm then talking about this people of Sweden and this and that, and no, I'm just looking at what I grew up with, and in a way it's a general token of appreciation to people of Sweden and Norway and Finland and, well, the Danes, yeah. They're getting a little bit continental. So, I mean, it's just interesting how modes of nature are. And that's how it is described, that these different worlds, the different lokas, are divided like that. They are structured like that. Different realms for different people with different modes of nature. It's completely logical, isn't it? Similarly, we find it with Earth, this planet we live on. There are places for people who are in the mode of ignorance. where things are rather hellish. They're killing and fighting and all these things. And nature and everything is a mess. No, it's from such environments that these dystopian movies are built. Mode of ignorance. And there you find drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things and violence and exploitation. Greed, anger. That's the mode of ignorance. That's the lower planets, the Talas. And you find those regions here on Earth too. Where they are, well, you tell me. I'm sure you can find them as well as I can, but I wouldn't recommend to go there. But here in Sweden, people are, were, and I still think that many are, although yes, I'm finding very ignorant and dark regions here as well, especially in a big city like this, but I avoid them, so I manage to stay away. So this age, it's called the Dark Age. Those darker modes of nature, they are more spreading. You can see how this greed rules large parts of the world. Just make more and more and more and more money and get more and more and more things and enjoy more and more of your senses. Get richer and richer, even if it means I have to kill some or do whatever. So that's Rajaguna passion, which tends to drift down into Tamaguna ignorance, darkness. You lose your money, you lose your family, you lose this, that, your friends and everything. You start drinking or drugging in the Euros and sleeping on the street. I mean, things can happen here, especially these days, very quickly. So, and as we find there in this old knowledge and this old cosmology, it's all resting upon the mind. And with that, I mean our mentality, how you and I, how we think about ourselves and others and the world, and thereby how we then act and create the world around us, treat each other, treat nature, treat Mother Earth. So the thing is with this cosmology that we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the old Puranas, and I would say the old cultures, the original human cultures here, the more sattvic ones, I would say, it gives us that worldview. At the cosmos, consists of these three worlds, among which the mental realm, our minds, is one, and a significant one, even more significant than the physical, which is secondary. It's more an effect. It's a kshetra, as the Bhagavad Gita says it, a place of action for our souls, corresponding to our guna, our modem nature. And then we act here, and that's called karma. And depending on which guna we act in, we get reactions. And our minds are shaped and steeped. It goes back and forth, right? We push out actions and desires, and we receive, we take in from our environment. So again, as you can see here, why, you might ask, why am I talking like this when we're supposed to talk about cosmology? Isn't that about planets and things? But no, this cosmos is a living cosmos. It's a cosmos of the totality of life. And of course, then the environments that this us living ones find ourselves in and act in, but that's secondary, because that's the way the world looks when you look at it from right where we are. From as the conscious observers, as the quantum physicists call it, then we will also experience the world, this cosmos, as a living cosmos. Not as a inert or whatever, lifeless space with some incidental life-like organisms in it. So yeah, here I am in Sweden, and people are walking around me outside my door, and nice people. And if you come here, well, if you live here, whether you were born here or you're from Aboriginal roots, here or they belong to some other place on earth, doesn't matter. What matters is, and of course wherever you live on the planet, I'm just entertaining myself and maybe someone else here a bit. But be nice to each other. And I've heard people coming from countries that are wilder down south, or in general from other countries down south, they appreciate people here. It's not just me being a Swede, because I don't feel much like a Swede. And when you meet nice people wherever they are, well, of course, don't count on it just because you go to Sweden, you don't meet any a-holes, because you will. There's plenty of those here among us too. So anyway, we could forget about the geography and just say wherever you meet good people who are more sattvic, honest, peaceful, reliable, responsible, dispassionate, I would say. But just our family, we were not rich or anything, but we were satisfied with what we had. And my father was very unpretentious, and although he was a CEO of a company, factory owner, so you don't have to go all mad of greed just because you made it, and, you know, am I going to get higher and bigger? And I would say that's much of the Swedish nature. Let's just get what we need and then live happily and with our families and our friends and do some sports together or play chess together, or after we have done our good daily job and duties and paid our taxes, which are then used very responsibly and carefully and nicely for the benefit of us all, and not just to pay out huge salaries and other benefits to those up there in the leading positions or behind the screens who you don't even see. You know, that corruption is possible anywhere, but we can also clean it up when we get there. And I think that's what the world is today in need of, a big cleanup, not by blowing everything to bits and pieces. Come on. I mean, of course, that may be the last resort when things go totally bonkers. But is that really what we... the only solution? Oh, come on, people. And I would say that those of you who don't see that the risk of a nuclear Hermageddon is has kind of come out of the conspiracy theory closet now. It's something we at least should get us to follow a bit what's actually going on, and educating ourselves and being, if not prepared, then at least prepared to start preparing for, or rather make sure we don't vote for leaders and support leaders who are taking us in that direction, which some of them do, especially those in Europe now. Strangely enough, that just goes to tell what the world is like these days. So all of you good old honest peaceful peace-loving neutral common sense Swedes who rather roll up our sleeves, ready to do some work when it's required to get things nicely in order again, rather than just going wild and starting to pound and hit and break and blow up and kill and whatever. We Swedes are not like that, are we? So I could say now, if I want to get more entertaining, is a call to you, good old Swedes and good old everyone from every place on the earth who in their own way share that spirit, that more, as we call, goodness spirit. The upward spiral will then start to move and light up when we start walking it, enough many of us. That's really all that it is about. And interestingly enough, getting back to this cosmology of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on that we have been describing in this book, or are describing, it's about that. It's cosmology, but not talking again about some big space or something, some spatial regions, but about us who live And therefore I'm saying that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a perfect example of that, because the entire book is about cosmology, but it's describing it, as we looked at these 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, how the soul, the cycle of the soul into this world, down in the lowermost of nature, hopefully not too deep down. And that's the purpose of a dharmic society. Yes, go down here, enjoy yourself, but do it in a balanced way. And yes, you might have to learn by your mistakes. But then again, back up, learn. Who am I? What's it all about? How shall I live to be happy and help others be so too? And then all this is going on in different realms and worlds and lives, which are there for us to try and try again. And how about this place? How do you like to live here? And then gradually you realize, hey, this is all a dream. I want to wake up. And that's it. This is the cosmology of the Bhagavatam. You better get used to it. And if we look at these strange models of old cosmologies, the structure, the features they have in common, again, clearly are the same three worlds. And the axis there in the middle through which we travel between those worlds. Therefore, I said somewhere that during my presentation in Brahmakum that it might be a bit mind-blowing if you come here expecting some kind of astronomy things, which again, we Westerners who have grown up in a physicalist-dominated world, and who may be influenced and conditioned by that, tend to look for, which I say, supported by the Bhagavatam and other old sources of wisdom, is a mistake. And as long as you stay there, in the physicalist camp, which it in fact is, not philosophically or anything, but the point of view, then this cosmology of the Puranas and so on will remain insurmountable enigmas. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.